If you would get your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews. And as you're turning there, I will mention, and it's no secret, that we are living in very, very unique times where there is a virus that is what is called a pandemic, started in Wuhan, China, and it is having worldwide ripple effects everywhere you would go if you were allowed to go everywhere. The numbers with this virus are often manipulated. Anybody can manipulate numbers, but they're often manipulated to fit whatsoever storyline, whoever you're talking to fits their storyline. This virus has put some people out of business. This virus has affected poor countries. As we looked at Jamaica and sending the love offering there, there are people that are hungry because of the food prices that have skyrocketed, and they don't have a lot of money there. We are in an election, which it seems like an eternal election, or at least a lifetime election. And the virus has even affected that because voting has been going on for how long? 4 years? No, it seems like forever, doesn't it? The virus has even affected our elections. It's stretched on longer than any other election that we've ever seen. We have one candidate, 74 years old, one candidate, 78 years old. Let me tell you, both candidates are sinners. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've seen articles of pastors who've written against particular candidates, one or the other. But you know what? You can point out sin in anyone's life. You hang around me, you know what? You can point out sin in my life. Just talk to my, don't talk to my wife. I will tell you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. My desire is to do the will of God. My heart's desire is to do His will. As we look at these two candidates, I'm not going to be preaching on these candidates, but I do want you to understand the final part of this election is supposedly over November 3rd, though some states have voted to, it can be postmarked to November 4th, 5th, 6th, even on up. It's just weird times. I have never seen anything like it. I don't think our nation has experienced anything like it. The two candidates, one is positive and one is negative. I'm not talking about the virus. One has accomplished much and has much pride in his accomplishments. And I will say I'm thankful for some of the accomplishments that have been accomplished. The other one has a platform that will make it very difficult for our Lord's people, I believe, in days to come. I have heard where even a doctor, a renowned doctor many people look to, think that it's about time to mandate and require masks for everybody all the time, even in cars. I'm like, you know what? If you're driving in a car by yourself, you do not need a mask. Do not put your hope in a mask. These two that are running, they both have different platforms. They both have very different personalities. One's a politician. One's a businessman. One you might not like his personality. The other one, you know what? He's just as bad calling names. I bring all this out because I have no doubt you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it over the past few months. And you've heard it and you're going to continue to hear it. We as children of God, if you're a child of God and you've trusted Christ, what should your faith look like in times like these? We do have the voter guides. They're out here and out there by the mask. But you know what? If you don't know where people stand by this point, you've been an ostrich and got your head in the sand. You're not paying too close attention. I want you to look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. And let us see what our faith should look like during times like these. There are many people who would like to cause division, even cause division amongst God's people. We cannot be divided in Christ. the Word of God presents in Hebrews chapter 11 a definition to some degree of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. And only by faith can you obtain a good report. We looked at the life of Abel, of how he approached God by faith in the right worship, through a blood sacrifice. We looked at the life of Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Once you come to God through the right sacrifice, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that was given for our sins. Once you worship Him then, you walk the walk. You walk the walk of faith. By faith, the Word of God tells us, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. The next example that we looked at was Noah. Noah was the right witness, the right style of witness. For 120 years, he walked with God. He built an ark, and he was mocked, no doubt, for his stand for righteousness. The example we'd like to look at this morning would be what we would think is the greatest example, humanly speaking, of a man who walked by faith. Now, the reason I say that is because the Word of God tells us over in Romans chapter 4 and verse 11 that Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. The Word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." If you are a believer and you have faith in Christ, the Word of God tells us that you're an offspring of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham, who is the father of all them that believe. As we think upon Abraham's life, what we have is just a little synopsis here of Abraham's life. If you want to really look at Abraham's life, you have to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, all the way through chapter 25. And it gives you a much more detailed view of Abraham's life. You're going back 4,000 years. That's a long time ago. But I want you to just see a little bit of a glimpse of Abraham's life. The Word of God says in verse 8 in chapter 11, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have or should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, he went out, not knowing whither he went." Now I want to pause there, because here the Word of God speaks about Abraham being called. I want you to look at a couple other passages of Scripture where it alludes to this. Look over in Isaiah chapter 51. In Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah is speaking. And what he's saying in verse 1, "Hearken to me." Listen up is what he's saying. "You that follow after righteousness." This could very well speak to us if we're believers in Christ. We follow after righteousness. "Listen up" is what he's saying. "You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn. Look what you've been cut out of, and to the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." I want you to notice very simply what this passage is saying is God called Abraham. He called Abraham alone. It was an individual calling. And God blessed him. Where did God call him from? I want you to look back in Joshua chapter 24. In the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, and look down in verses 2 and 3. Now this happens when Abraham is about 70 years old. The Word of God says in verse 2, "Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Notice here, Abraham was in a family that served other gods. If Abraham was in that family that's serving other gods, Abraham was an idolater. He worshiped false gods. But the Word of God goes on to say in verse 3, God says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. Here, I want you to notice, God called Abraham. God took Abraham. Abraham, if Abraham lived his life and God had not intervened, Abraham would have died worshiping false gods in a heathen land. But God called him. God calls today. There are two different types of calls that God calls with. There is a general call. The Word of God says, many are called, but few are chosen. The call goes out to all. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached to every creature. Go into all the nations is what the Word of God tells us. And what do? We proclaim the righteousness of God, which is found only in Jesus Christ. The call goes out. It's kind of like, if you could think back in older days, when you were little, some of you ain't old enough to think this way, but if you had a large family, your mom called, dinner's ready, supper's ready. That's a general call. If you don't answer that call, you know what? You don't eat. And if you don't hurry, if you're in a large family, you miss out. You know what I'm saying? That's a general call goes out. But I want you to notice God's call is a very particular call. It is a call that is in a effectual call. When God called Abraham, the Word of God says, I took him. In other words, God's call produced an effect in Abraham's heart. That effect, it's kind of like, you remember when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha's brother. And you remember how they called to Jesus and Jesus came, but he took his time coming. He's dead. He'd been dead for 3 days. Lord, he stinks. And you remember what Jesus did? Did he say, come forth? Well, that's part of what he said, but that ain't all he said. Because if that was all he said, all the graves would have opened up. But I want you to notice what Jesus did. He called forth Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, that's an effectual call. Jesus, the power that he had in just speaking to a dead man, that dead man, it caused an effect in him to come forth. Even so, the gospel call has an effectual call. When God calls to those who are spiritually dead, and he's calling you in particular, and he knows everyone by name. He knows your heart. He knows your sins. He knows your past. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. Oh, not good. And yet what he does, he calls us by name. I want you to notice, Abraham was not seeking the Lord. He was in Mesopotamia. Look back in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen's preaching, and he says in verse 2, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham, our father Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. It was an effectual call because Abraham responded by faith, and the Word of God says, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. He dwelt in the land of Haran after he left Mesopotamia. He dwelt there until his father passed away, and then he moved into the promised land. Now, I want you to notice here, the response of Abraham was one of repentance and faith. When God had that particular call to Abraham, he turned from all his former way of life, his idolatrous worship, his family, his friends, his home, all the buildings that were familiar to him back in that day and time, the ziggurats, the star worshiping, all the craziness that was going on. He turned from that, and by faith he trusted the Lord God. He was obedient unto his command. You see, when there is an effectual call in a person's life, you're convicted of your sin, you turn from that sin, you put your trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, you are obedient unto the Lord. It's not like I trust in the Lord and I continue to live my life just the way I always lived it. No, there is a turning away from the old things that have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Were things new for Abraham? Whoo! He was going to a land, the next verse tells us, where he knew not. Or it's the last part of verse 8. He went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he's going. God called him and says, go, and I'll show you where you go. So you know what? Abraham believed, but he had to keep on believing. It was a walk of faith. Listen to what the Word of God says over in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 and down in verse 6, the Word of God says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for His name. Listen to what it says over in the 16th chapter of Romans. As Paul wrote this, and he starts out with that, he ends up saying the same thing in chapter 16 and verse 26, the next and last verse. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. If you are a child of God, you are saved by the power of God for the obedience of the faith, for His name's sake. God has called you that you might continue to walk with Him and be obedient to Him. Abraham's life began with an act of obedience. There was an outward evidence of an inward working. The effectual call worked inwardly, and it produced an outward effect. Abraham did not start following a dream, a vision, big plans for life. Boy, I'm going to the promised land. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a good time down there. That ain't what he did. What he was doing, he was following a call. God had called him. The Word of God tells us back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. In other words, faith is based upon the Word of God. Faith is based upon the Word of God. And when faith is based upon God's promise, faith produces obedience. Obedience follows. If you have no obedience to the Lord, you have no faith. Faith produces obedience. Abraham left all that was familiar to him to go on a hard journey, hundreds of miles. Back in that day and time, he didn't take a plane, didn't take a train, he didn't take a car. Best he probably could do was a camel. Packed what little bit he had, and he traveled to where God was leading him. God led him by faith. And he loved the Word of God, or he would not have followed the Lord God. Therefore, the Word of God says he went, or by which he condemned, or verse 8, he went out not knowing whither he went. I'm glad to see y'all this morning because that means you knew where you were going. Abraham didn't know where he was going in this life as a child of God. We don't know where we're going in this life. God can change your plans like that, your direction like that, your health like that. God can change your direction in a split moment. We know not where we're going in this life, but we have faith in the promises of God. We know where we're going to end up. That's the main thing. Abraham knew that too. What Abraham does, he has obedient faith that abandons all to follow the call. If you are a child of God, you have obedient faith to abandon all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever He leads. That's where I will go. Abraham's going to a place he knew not, but he's going to receive his inheritance. But his inheritance, he's not going to inherit. It's kind of odd. God's promising him an inheritance, but Abraham's not going to get it. Not in this life. I want you to think. How do we follow God? How do we follow the Lord Jesus? How did Abraham follow? Initially, the Lord appeared to him, but God spoke to him. God speaks today through His Word. You know what? You can have visions, you can have dreams, you can have indigestion that makes you think all kind of things, but it's only God's Word that's reliable. And here we must follow God's Word. How do we seek His will? Through His Word. Obedience, even if things get difficult. And you know what? If you're obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ, things will get difficult. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There will be times you are mocked. If you ain't been mocked before in your Christian walk, your Christian walk ain't loud enough. You will get mocked in this world. What did it cost Abraham? It involved all of his possessions. It involved all of his money. It involved his family. It involved trusting God. Because you know what? You might want to continue to trust yourself, but God knows better than you with your life. You might think you got plans, you got dreams, you got big money, you got whatever. I'm telling you what, it is better to trust the Lord your God than trust yourself. God knows best. In Abraham's life, it was a lifelong walk of trusting the Lord. Notice verse 9, the Word of God says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. He sojourned. That means to live as a foreigner or to live as an alien in a strange land. Abraham moved and he moved and he moved. And as he moved, he was in a land, in an area that he was not familiar with. People and customs and culture that he did not fully comprehend. As he walked, he trusted. He was promised Canaan. I want you to notice that in verse 9. I've got it underlined in my Bible. Notice what it says. He sojourned in the land of promise. Here's the only mention in the Word of God, the land of promise. Right here in Hebrews. It's called the land of promise. Only time you'll see that mentioned. Throughout, you can scour over your Bible. You won't find it anywhere else. It's right here. Abraham lived as an alien in a foreign land in the land of promise. He was promised this land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. But while he was living, he did not inherit any of it. He did purchase a cave. You remember when Sarah died, the cave of Machpelah from one who was, I think his name was Elon. And I think he was a Ephron, Elon, something like that. But anyway, I think he was a Hittite. He bought this cave, and that was his only possession, that which he bought. God promised him this land. He does not get it while he's living. Think with me if you would. If God promised you a piece of land down in Brazil, I've got some friends down in Brazil, more than one with some of the missionaries. Imagine Brother Odalee promised me 50 acres of land down there in Brazil. I get down there and all I can do is live in a tent. I don't have that land yet and I die. Do I really possess the land? You know what? It's all in God's time, not our time. We want to put God on our time schedule. God's much bigger than our time schedule. God's much bigger than time, period. He indwells all eternity. This land is promised. Imagine God promised you this land. And as he promised this to you and your descendants, you go to this land and you're surrounded by people with, what Brother Wayne said, a total world view. Worshiping false gods, worshiping all kinds of crazy things. People that just don't think like you. You live in a tent all your life. And imagine getting there, and after you're there for a little while, you have to leave and go to another country because there's a famine in that land. That's what happened to Abraham. There was a famine in Egypt, and therefore he went, or famine in the promised land, and he went to Egypt for a while. In other words, the life of faith. Trust in the promise of God's word. And though you cannot see it with your physical eyes, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the title deed, as we once said, for the things that are hoped for. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Abraham's life, he experienced trials, difficult times. The Apostle Paul, he had persecutions, didn't he? He had problems in life. He got stoned. He got beaten. He got robbed, shipwrecked. Ain't nobody been here suffering as much as old Paul was for the gospel's sake. In other words, the life of faith, your faith is going to be challenged. We do not preach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. If you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer some persecution. You're going to suffer some stretching of your faith, some challenges to your life and your belief in God. The believer's life is most focused on heaven. And that's where Abraham's life is focused upon. He's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And if your life and your mindset and your worldview is focused upon that which is eternal, let me tell you, you know everything's going to work out fine. But if you have your mindset set upon the things of this earth, like unbelievers, and you look only on that which is physical and what can be seen, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Imagine Abraham if he viewed and just with his physical eyes didn't believe God because of what he was seeing with his physical eyes. But he, by faith, could see that land afar off. I want you to notice what it says in verse 10. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." That was not the promised land. The promised land was a type of that which is the future land. Look down in verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." God has prepared for us a place. And it ain't this world we're talking about. If in this life you have hope only, you are of all men and women most miserable. We are pilgrims in this world. We are sojourners, alien in a foreign land. Don't get your roots down too deep. I want you to notice how your faith will be tried. In verses 11 and 12, the Word of God says, through faith. Same word through is the same word by. It very simply, by faith. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Here is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are 90 and 99 years old. Now that's, I'm not talking about 180 or 90 some years, how old they are. I'm talking about one. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 99. Way past the age of childbearing, no children. And Abram's name is literally translated exalted father. Hey, exalted father, how many kids you got? None. God changed his name from exalted father to the father of multitudes, Abraham. Hey, Abraham, father of multitudes, how many kids do you actually got? None. Look at Abraham's faith. No doubt he got mocked in his life. No doubt he was challenged. But God had promised him. And God had told Sarah when she laughed because she did not believe. God says, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Sarah found out, no, there's not anything too difficult for the Lord. God promised a child. Sarah conceived and gave birth at the age of 90. Imagine being 90 years old and giving birth. My goodness. Now, don't take the word of God out of context. Hear me. There are many people who would like to claim the promise of Sarah, well, God's going to help me have a child because I've not had any children. God's going to help me have this, have that. God's going to heal me of the virus. God's going to do this. You know, name it, claim it. No, that's not God's word. Don't take God's word out of context. Don't take God's word out of context when he promises that you will have none of these diseases. Because if you do, you're going to be very disappointed in this life. There are people who believe all they've got to do is say the name Jesus, and because they say the name Jesus, that means they'll never get a disease. Let me tell you something, that is misinterpreting the word of God. If that were true, we would never die on this earth. You know what? We're going to have trouble in this life. We're going to have pain. We're going to have heartache. Abraham did. But God blessed Abraham in a way where he lived to see his son, Isaac, born, the son of promise. He lived 15 years after Jacob was born, and that was it. God promised him he'd be the father of many nations. Look at what it says in verse 13, and first part of that. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. You see, it's in God's time, not in our time. We want things on our schedule. We want God to answer our prayers right now. And let me tell you, God's got a much bigger picture and God's got a much better plan than what you can ever conceive. It's in His time. How many believers have believed since Abraham's believed? I can tell you this, it's like the stars of heaven. I can tell you it's a number that is innumerable who have believed in the Lord God. God has made him the father of many nations, or the father of multitudes. When you count up all those believers, and let me tell you, you cannot count them because it's innumerable. So in conclusion, I don't want to keep stretching this out because we're going to stay in the book of Hebrews for a while. What should your faith look like in the times that we're living in? Number one, have you heard God's call? God's calling all to repentance, to turn from your sins and by faith to trust in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Casting all your care upon Him, trusting totally in Him. There is repentance and faith. There is the obedience to the faith. Have you heard the call of God? That's a very serious question. If you've heard God's call and you've answered that call and you've turned from your sin and you've trusted Christ, are you living a life of obedience? That means, let me tell you, I believe the first step of obedience for a believer, a child of God, is following the Lord in scriptural baptism. Repent and be baptized because of the remission of your sins. Have you followed the Lord in baptism? That's the first step of obedience. Are you following the Lord now, daily, living in accordance to His Word? It's a life time of walking and trusting and leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you cannot see with your physical eyes. I really believe we need to get out of the political mode and get in the gospel mode. We don't need politics. We got enough of that. We need the gospel. We need the gospel more boldly proclaimed. We need to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What if, and God can do this, what if freedom of religion shut down? What if they want to close the doors to the churches, which they've tried back in March, April? What if they say you cannot assemble together? What if God says, assemble. Who do we follow? Are we obedient unto God or obedient unto man? One trumps the other, let me tell you. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the Lord, surrender to Him, or are we going to serve man and follow science? Let me tell you something. Science is supposedly based on facts. But when it comes to facts, facts change constantly, especially with this virus. They've got to constantly readjust the facts. You know what? The facts that I've got don't change. It's the Word of God. Are you standing firmly on His Word? Faith in Christ and Christ alone. Do you know Him as Lord? Do you call Him Lord? If you do, that means you're obedient unto Him. We're going to give a hymn of invitation. I ask you very simply to surrender your life to Christ. Continue to walk by faith, trusting in Him no matter what might come your way. Abraham is a supreme example. Is your faith like that of Abraham? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word, which challenges us even in days like we're living in right now. Lord, I have no doubt our faith will be tried even more. But You have told us that the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And it's through these challenging times where our faith is tried. If it's faith in things that are seen, Lord, we know people are going to fall by the wayside. If it's faith in Your everlasting arms, and the power of Your Word, we know that we shall stand no matter what may come our way. And though we do not receive an inheritance upon this earth, Lord, we, like Abraham, are looking for a city whose foundation is built by you. We are guaranteed that from your word. Thank you for giving us a hope that goes beyond any hope this world can offer. And that hope is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we ask that by your Spirit you convict of sin. Areas where we're falling, failing, and not trusting. Strengthen us, Lord, in these difficult times. For Christ's sake, amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Wherever he leads, I'll go.